10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to Hour 3 of Radio Law Talk. I'm your host, Frederick Penny, with Denise Dirks, Todd Kunin, and our producer, Cal Hunter. This is the Four Musketeers. It's been going on for 7 years. And it's going just as strong as it ever has. 855-LAW-RADIO, give us a call. Remember, this is the most exciting, entertaining, and only sometimes informative show on earth, so do not set your expectations high. Go to our website and look at our disclaimers. We're not giving you legal advice. Don't go telling people that this is what we said. Well, you can tell them what we said, but don't, you know, say, hey, this is a fact that Cal Hunter brought up, or Fred Penny, and that's exactly what's going to happen. No. Go do your own investigation. We're just having fun here, okay? Go get a lawyer if you need a lawyer. I feel so much better now. That just makes me feel good. Today we're going to talk about the last hour, Disney Florida lawsuit, DeSantis. We're going to talk about that briefly. Titanic Law might be helping the ship owners of the big, huge ship that crashed into the bridge. We're going to talk about a nursing facility getting sued by this nurse. Very interesting, some of the things that this so-called, they call the killer nurse, and again, innocent until proven guilty, but some of the things she has said prior to these people's deaths is very interesting. We're going to talk about Cal's neck of the wood. There's a California mother who faked a kidnapping, and what the latest is on that. Yeah. Cal knows about that. That's just down the road from him. We're going to talk about a UFC fighter settlement that's very interesting. And then we're going to talk about Walgreens. So this is an interesting arbitration award. And then a judge dismissing, we probably won't get to this one, but we got judge dismissing a lawsuit against Disney over the VFX tech or Avengers, so we might talk about that. I don't know. We've got so much to do this hour. It just seems to fly by, and it's an anecdotal week, right? Seems like we're doing anecdotal stuff. But let's roll another case or no case, Cal, because I am
now it's
doing very well.
Case or no case.
You're on a roll.
Oh, I'm on a roll. I'm two for two.
Now case or no case, Fresno, California. Farlar Singh ran three 7-Eleven franchise stores. He wore the smock proudly, carried all the required merchandise, kept money in his shared bank account, hated being open 24 hours a day. One week, he decided to experiment, close between 3 and 5 a.m. to save a little overtime and on utilities and so on. He did that for 5 days. On the fifth day came a registered letter revoking his franchise for all three stores, even though he'd closed just one. The letter said he failed to follow the terms of the agreement, and his franchise fee of $90,000 per store was forfeited. Mr. Thing thought he was a franchisee, an independent contractor. He could, within reason, set his own store hours. He decided to call his own attorney to sue for reinstatement and a return of the forfeited fees. Yes, Todd Kunin, he wanted to know if he had a case or no case.
Oh, I think this has to go to Denise first this time.
Oh, is it Denise?
You skipped me on
confused.
The divorce one.
That's why I'm going to you first.
Yes, so it goes to Denise first.
Well,
you went to me first on the Nevada divorce case.
All right,
so
okay,
now Denise
whatever.
Gets to
you guys
first.
Figured out.
I get
I'm
to
sorry.
Piggyback off Denise's answer
all
this
right,
time.
Denise, what do you think? Case or no case? You lucky person, you.
So he paid $99,000 per franchise?
Per store. Plus, of course,
90.
They
get
90 and
90,000.
Plus they get their cut off of, you know, they share profits and all that stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
And it has to be open 24/7. That's what 7-Eleven's all about, right?
Well, yep. The sign says 7-Eleven. That was their old hours. Now they say we are open 24/7. Take it or leave it. Yeah.
And they wrote a registered letter to revoke how many of the franchises?
All three.
Three.
You violate one term, you're out as a franchisee. End of story. On the blacklist, so to speak.
dun, dun, dun.
Okay, sing. Yeah, that's possible. Okay. And versus 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven, isn't it an Oregon store initially?
Texas company.
Oh, it's a Texas
Southland company. Corporation, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Denise is doing
this. I know
this
I'm
is
stalling.
This is the Dirk stall.
Dirk stall.
Now, 7 comes before 11
not Minnesota.
In the numerical value, right?
Okay. Did you notice it stopped raining outside?
And,
oh, it did. Wow.
Good one, Fred. I didn't think of that one.
The sky is blue.
So what do you think?
Okay, what do I think? And this is in Fresno.
Yep.
I think.
You should have started.
Oh, my gosh. I just don't want to get behind anymore.
Come on.
Catch up.
See, the competitive nature, I love
hey,
this.
Hey, Cal, why don't you get some music going or something going?
I should have some Jeopardy theme or something, I would wear out the sound file if I did with Denise.
That's only 30 seconds long. So. Yeah.
I mean, if it was a condition of the franchise contract, that is a violation of the franchise contract. I don't think they have to give them notice and the opportunity to cure that either. We're not talking about a UCC goods issue, right?
I don't know, Denise.
I'm going to say that this is a scenario but not a case.
All right, fair enough. Fred, what do you think about the case?
The answer is I know a little bit about this, Cal.
Farlar Singh versus 7-Eleven.
These franchise contracts are very tight. For like 7-Eleven, they can't do anything. You can't sneeze or do anything in 7-Eleven, and or their franchisors can shut you down. You can't change things. You can't. You have to follow it by the T, especially a company like 7-Eleven. So I think under the normal contract, they probably – is there a remedy that they have in order to say you can't shut down all stores? I think the only argument he'd have is – you could shut that one down, but not the other ones. But I'm sure they're all connected to one another, all the franchise agreements. And so they can absolutely do that. I think they have the right to do that. But I think this is a 100% made-up scenario by Cal. Hmm. And it's just a scenario because Mr. Singh lives in Yuba City, Marysville, and near Todd. And so that's what I'm saying.
I grew up with Todd.
What do you think, Todd?
Well, okay, so... So he closes his stores down to save on overtime. How long after the one store that was closed, how long after that did he receive this certified letter in the mail?
I'm looking right here. He did this for 3 days. On the third day came the registered letter, day three.
Okay. So I have to assume that in any contract, I mean, this is a breach of a term and condition of contract, and I would think that there's got to be something in that this gives them a notice of demand to cure a defect and come back and within a reasonable period of time or to stop doing that, and that it's not as draconian as you laid it out. And so because of that, I'm going to say that this is a scenario, not a case. I'll agree with my colleagues that this is a scenario, not a case, because there has to be something that allows him to cure a deficiency like that in the contract.
You know, this never happens. You three all agree on an outcome of a case or no case. All three of you.
So Cal's going to win.
This never happens. And I love listening to your analysis, the way you think it all over, the way you pick apart the possibilities. Mm-hmm. And here's what you'll love as well. I'm not going to give you the answer until we come back.
Wow, good one, Cal.
We're that close to the break. That's why they call it a tease and why they call me a tease. We'll be back.
That's what she said.
Oh, stop, Cal.
We'll see you. We'll be back.
You don't mean that, do you?
Oh, we'll behave.
We'll be right back with the answer to the case or no case and more on Radio Law Talk. Stay tuned.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com. You turned on Radio Law Talk. Radio Law Talk.
commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Attention. If you owe back taxes to the IRS is cracking down by hiring 87,000 new agents to garnish your paycheck and put liens on homes and businesses. They can even seize your bank account. The IRS calls it enforced compliance, and now they have the manpower to get you. Penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily. So call One-Stop Tax Relief Shop and get the IRS off your back. They're experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, one of the biggest breaks the IRS has ever offered. Call 800-501-2533. 800-501-2533. One-Stop Tax Relief has resolved thousands of cases since 2014 and saved clients millions of dollars. Call now for a free consultation. Get the IRS off your back. Call 800-501-2533. 800-501-2533.
Do you want to know the secret to putting extra money back in your pocket? Then switch your car insurance. And now you can make one phone call and shop dozens of insurance companies. Just like buying airline tickets, where it's easy to make one call that has all the best deals. We have great deals with most of the major top-rated insurance companies. We are your superstore for car insurance. We've switched people from their expensive car insurance plans and saved them hundreds of dollars a year. If you think you're paying too much for your car insurance, call now. It's easy to switch, and in 5 minutes, yes, just 5 minutes, you'll learn how much money you can save on your car insurance. Save yourself some money this year. Call now for your car insurance. Call E-Insurance now for your free car insurance quote. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. That's 800-251-0427.
Every 40 seconds, a kid is reported missing. Find the Children provides educational material that teaches your kids how to recognize and avoid predators. Our recovery programs are very successful in bringing kids back home to their family. You can help protect our kids and bring the missing kids home safe by donating your unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Running or not, we guarantee you will receive the maximum tax deduction. We provide fast free pickup, usually within 24 hours. Over 2,000 kids are reported missing every day. Call now to donate your vehicle. Donate now to bring these kids home safe.
Call 800-771-4877. 800-771-4877. 800-771-4877.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us. 800-918-1376. 800-918-1376. 800-918-1376. That's 800-918-1376.
We're not going to take him because he can't hit a curve.
How come nobody's talking about this?
You're listening to Radio Law Talk. And now back to the show.
We're back to our case or no case about 7-Eleven in Fresno, California. Mr. Singh apparently decided he has five 7-Elevens. He decided to close one down for a few hours just to save some overtime money. And as he did it, approximately 5 days later, he gets a letter from 7-Eleven saying they are taking away all his franchises, the rights for 7-Eleven, not just the one that he closed down because he only closed down one store, but all the stores that he had. I said that is the generally speaking, they can do that as a franchisor. They're very strict in what they can and can't do. You know, when you're a franchisee, I think there's no even recourse for him. But I said, I think it's a scenario. And then Todd said the same basic thing that I did. And Denise said the same thing. So we're all in agreement, which is rare. And Cal was laughing and said he has to go to a break. Now, maybe he had to go to the bathroom. I'm not sure.
Well, but, yeah, just taking a bathroom
but
break.
What it was. But he was waiting, I think, to drop the bomb on us. Let's see.
Well, those of you who said it was not a case, that is
all of
three
us.
Of you. Well, that's too bad.
Oh, my gosh, oh, Cal, you got us. You skunked us.
It's a case, and 7-Eleven won.
Yes.
The evidence that Singh presented claiming he was independent was not favorably received by the judge. 7-Eleven said, it's our name. We used to be open from 7 to 11, but now by contract we're open 24/7 and 365. They sold the three franchises and franchise rights to new operators. Singh kept his real estate, got the difference when they sold the, he got a little bit of equity back from them, like 20 grand. That was it.
Wow.
So Mr. Singh lost, and the heavy corporate suits at 7-Eleven took their smocks and went
home. Close it down.
Yeah, that's it.
Don't close it down. I tell you, those seven, I'm telling you, I wasn't allowed to look at, it was actually AM, PM. I'm not going to disclose because I looked at purchasing one at one time, not to run it, but as an investment.
Yeah. And they are a license to print money, by the way.
Yeah,
but,
that's they do well, let me say that. Yeah. I was pretty shocked. I'm going to say that. I was shocked at we could probably each one of us retire and live nice on one of them.
Works for me.
That's a decent one. That's a good one. There you go, Denise. When you're ready to retire, go run an AM, PM or a 7-Eleven, all right?
And that.
Okay, here's Case or No Case.
Case or No Case. Back to the show with Fred Penny, Denise Dirks, and Todd Kunin.
So we're finishing up last hour about the Disney Florida lawsuits. They have settled it about the special district. Basically, Disney's going to go back with their special district. And there, as a special district, there are people who make decisions about the. I don't understand Florida's all their law, but there is a government entity that kind of oversees it still and works with Disney. And DeSantis has been able to choose his own, quote, people to sit on that board. And the court has held that he's allowed to do that. And Disney sued saying he couldn't do that. And the court's held, no, he's allowed to put these special people that Disney claims are his kingpins to fight Disney. And the reason the Disney fight all came down was because of the they call it the Don't Say Gay law or whatever it was. But anyway, that's what the fight is about. We're not going to get into that law and the issues there. But they're back at least hugging each other a little bit. And it was best
they
for,
came to the best compromise,
yeah,
I
which
think
is, they
could
they compromised and figured it out. We don't have all the details.
Nobody wins totally. They're going to have to share responsibility and authority,
right.
And they're going to have to renegotiate some agreements.
Good.
That's
good.
Really what it's at.
That's it. That was the one. All right, Denise, you want to talk about Titanic Law?
Oh, okay.
Can we talk
you
about...
You want to talk about...
I was going to say, can we talk about this without hearing this song in the background?
No.
That's a really good song.
Okay, go ahead, Denise.
So there is a very antiquated law in place that still may apply to the Baltimore Bridge incident. It is called the Titanic Law, and it's from the early 1900s. And that is with respect to during the Titanic, there was a law that came into being that limits the amount of money that a big ship like the Titanic would have to pay for damages. So this is still in place. It's archaic, and it may actually limit the liability of the container ship that hit and made the bridge go down.
And people died. People actually died.
Oh, my gosh. Scariest thought.
Yeah, but it was like early in the morning, like 3 in the morning or something, wasn't it?
It was in the a.m. Yeah. For sure. And, anyway.
You know, one of the interesting things, this law actually predates the Titanic. The law is from 1851. I mean, it's old, but it was cited by
That's when Cal was born. So
that's right. That's right. I think Cal was...
2 years later.
Yeah, Cal was sitting on the legislature.
No, Cal was in the Titanic. He's the one that jumped in the boat first. All right, I'm out of here.
I'm a child. Women and children first.
Women
I'm
and
a
children
child.
First, because let me get my dress. And, yeah, so this was in 1851. It was passed, and the reason that it was passed, so the law, in essence, says that if there's an accident involving shipping, there's a cap on the amount of damages that you can get. And the cap is the value of the ship after the accident, so scrap, plus the value of the cargo that was being transported, right? Mm-hmm. So you couldn't go beyond that. And the idea behind it was if we cap it at that, it still encourages shipping. Because if we make an unlimited amount that people can recoup, nobody will ever ship anything to the United States anymore. There will be no shipping if it's that. So this law was cited by the Titanic's owner when it went down. Mm-hmm. And he's getting sued. And the Titanic's owner cites this law in Supreme Court documents saying, hey, this thing's been on the books since 1851. My damages should be capped at this, and he prevailed.
Which there's nothing left of the Titanic, right?
Isn't there also a presumption in this law that a stationary object will not be at fault? It's got to be the moving object that is the one that caused the damage?
You would think that would be the case. It's like the old argument between the battleship admiral and the lighthouse operator. You know, where they're both telling each other to change course, and the battleship operator says, I am the commander of the USS blah, blah, blah. And the lighthouse operator radios back and says, yeah, I'm a lighthouse, so you change course. Right. I can't move, right? So that's the law, and if it's upheld, I mean, if that is used here in this, then, look, you're looking at the damage of the bridge, and there was loss of life and all this stuff, and the damage to economies moving forward because they can't. There's a lot you could look at in terms of damage, but this law may limit recovery to the value of the ship and the cargo.
Which, by the way, is probably a lot.
Could be.
The cargo was.
I think the estimate is $3 billion.
Yeah, it's probably. Oh, of damage?
Yeah. The value of the ship and the cargo.
Oh, yeah. I believe it. It's a lot of money. And what's interesting now, I was reading about this and doing a little bit of research. The abutments that they put now for these bridges are really not only sturdy, but they have protections around them from ships hitting them. A lot of the newer bridges, but these older bridges don't have that, and this is
kind of like those yellow poles in a parking lot, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah, similar.
Well, this bridge was also unique in that it was a bridge that was continuous, even though it had different poles that hung up in different, you know, areas to hold up pieces of the bridge. It was a continuous bridge, so when one part went down, the whole thing went down.
Right.
So that they don't make bridges like that anymore.
And it was workers that were actually happening to be working. There's a couple of those that passed away. And then a couple of cars went down with it.
Yeah. So oh, gosh. It just
They were on a
traffic.
Break in their pickup trucks, six of them at the time, or what happened, six guys working on the bridge. And the public safety workers had 90 seconds to stop traffic. That's all the time they had. And they did a great job, or it would have been much worse. So, yeah.
Quite a story. I didn't realize they were in their car to break that.
We're going to see. What's interesting, I'm wondering, is the Titanic, is the families that can only sue for the value of the cargo and the ship. Obviously, during the time of the Titanic, 1930s, what was the year, 20s?
It was 1912.
1912 was the Titanic, and they're only able to sue for that amount. I don't know. Is the statute of limitation run? Because now they're bringing up the relics of the Titanic that are worth millions of dollars probably on the open market. Can the families now say, all right, that's our property because we have the ability to get what the value of the ship and property on it. So,
well, you know why they did that for the value of the ship and the property on it, that limitation? Because that would have been what the insurance company's limits would be.
Yes.
So it was to make sure that they got paid, and then the owner of the boat would not be able to recoup from their own insurance the value of the ship and the value of the items on the ship. So kind of interesting. So I would argue the opposite.
We'll be right back with more Radio Law Talk after this.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
No more mold. No more damage. No more outdated old bathroom. No more slipping and hurting. No more stress. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. Be stress-free. Call 800-294-8702. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. Ask about our military and senior discounts. Your dream bathroom in as little as one day. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. Call now for free premium color upgrades. 800-294-8702. Call BCI Bath and Shower, the leader in bathroom remodeling. Be smart, safe, and stay a step ahead of inflation with our interest-free financing options. Call 800-294-8702.
I'm going to Quick Quack Car Wash. Get my car washed, make it quick, quack, pretty, shiny, sexy, just because I want to. Don't drive dirty. Going to get my car suds in the Quick Quack Car Wash. It's the Quick Quack, quickest and the cleanest by far. We're talking 3 skinny minutes sitting right in your car. Watch 100 feet of cloth washing your car at the Quick Quack Car Wash. Any Honda, Mazda, Ford, or Chevy, Saab, or Cadillac, Quick Quack will spruce her up just like that. You'll be happy looking snappy. You'll be glad you was at the Quick Quack Car Wash. Get on the web and go to don'tdrivedirty.com and see where you got your closest Quick Quack in the local area. Get in your car, get in your truck, get on the road, come visit the doc at the
Quick Quack Car Wash, where your car will always leave happy, guaranteed. They take pride in being clean and green by conserving and recycling the water they use only at...
Okay, man, this is your time. Maybe you didn't choose this, but you're here now. You're going to go out there and be an all-star caregiver. Cook, clean, be there emotionally and physically. You got to dig deeper. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments, because that's what caregivers do. Don't give up. Show the world that you're tougher than tough. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Things have gotten out of hand with our friend again.
What is a nice guy like you doing in a place like this?
You're listening to Radio Law Talk. And now back to the show.
All right, we were talking. We're going to talk about this: the nursing facilities being sued by this killer nurse. Quote: I'm going to call killer nurse. Sunnyview Health and Rehab is the latest nursing facility, among others, that are being sued for their loved ones being killed by this rogue nurse that had apparently, the argument is negligent hiring, because this nurse had apparently been multiple places, been fired, laid off, and had said some interesting things prior to the deaths of individuals. In fact, the youngest individual to have died is a 43-year-old Nicholas Symbol, who had a disease of insulin issues. And the argument is that he was overdosed with insulin and she did not like him for some reason. And the argument is that she was, they were off. Now, what I don't know, was she already criminally prosecuted and found guilty? I don't remember that. I know civilly they're being sued, all these nursing homes. Here's some things that this individual says. They're arguing that this Miss Presti, who is, they're calling the killer nurse, has been linked to 17 deaths across 5 facilities. Gosh. And that's a lot. And 22 patients. So 5 of them have lived and survived. Here it is. I guess you're right. In the case of 18 others, she's currently charged with attempted homicide. On some of them, and then homicide on murder on the others. But some interesting things that she had said to individuals that will apparently testify while she was working. So one of the interesting things she said Let me find this. Let me get to that. Hold on one second. One of the interesting things she said, talking about this symbol, the 43-year-old individual, Nicholas, that was actually fairly healthy other than this diabetic, serious diabetic issue, said, quote, to one of her coworkers about Mr. Symbol is, he would be the next one to die, is what she said. And this is in the complaint. And she called him a gross, that he's gross, and basically said to these other coworkers that people like him with this quality of life deserve to die. And so apparently he did pass away from an overdose of insulin. Apparently another nurse found him. He had a prior low sugar episode, and then he had another sugar crash, and the nurse found him foaming at the mouth, and he died later that day, they're saying, from an overdose of insulin. So this behavior of this individual is crazy. The number of nursing facilities that this lady worked at in a short period of time, boom, 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 right in a row, their argument is should have at least lit a fire under the existing nursing homes that hired her and say something's wrong. Why do you keep getting fired or leaving these other facilities?
And, you know, this nurse actually admitted that she gave that person an overdose of insulin.
Right.
So she actually has admitted to that.
Yeah, and to clarify, as far as the criminal prosecution, so she's linked to 17 deaths,
right,
in various nursing homes. But right now she's only facing charges. She was arrested, I think it was November of last year. She's only facing charges on 4. Those are the ones that prosecutors felt that they had enough evidence on. And so this civil suit is kind of running in tandem with the criminal suit. And, you know, that can make some things maybe a little bit difficult in pursuing the civil suit. That the chief one is they really won't be able to depose her to find out what she has to say, because she'll just exercise her Fifth Amendment right to remain silent, not incriminate herself, because anything she says in a deposition can be used against her in a criminal case. Mm-hmm. So
that's what's going to cause a delay for sure.
Yeah, and it usually does in these personal injury cases. People go, why don't you sue? You got to wait for the criminal case a lot of times to finish out.
But by the same token, for at least if a lawsuit was filed against her and the lawsuit was filed on behalf of any of the 4 that she is currently charged with in the criminal case, and if she is ultimately convicted of those, that does bode well for the civil case in at least those 4 causes of action with those 4 victims, because, well, if you
some good evidence,
if you admitted or were convicted beyond a reasonable doubt, we ought to be able to prove that under the preponderance standard. So
it's just weird. She used the same modus in all 4 of those deaths, and she admitted to doing it. That's the part that's weird. Why are we having criminal trials on that when there's been an admission?
I like that you say that. I like that you ask that question. Why do we have a criminal trial when there has been an admission of guilt? Mm-hmm. It's because, look, in a criminal trial, resolution, finding of guilt, determining somebody is guilty so they no longer have the presumption of innocence, can happen one of 2 ways. You can either admit it, or you can have 12 people deem that about you. There's no other option when it comes to guilt. And if she is not admitting it, if she is not willing to say, I'm guilty, then the state has no option but to continue with the case and prove it to a jury.
So I want to set this one up, this next case about the Northern California mother who faked a kidnapping. This is right in Cal's neck of the wood. Now, Cal is a producer of a news program. Watch your time. We only have 3.5 minutes, Cal.
I finally got my eye back on the clock. Go ahead.
Okay, got your eye on the clock.
Yeah.
Tell us the you know every detail about this. Yeah. Tell us the background. And then if we go into break, we'll finish it up the second half. But tell
Sherry
us the background.
Sherry Papini is her name.
Okay.
She faked kidnapping. Went out on a jog, disappeared, left her phone and headphones in a little bundle.
and disappeared. And her husband went on Good Morning America. It captured the nation's attention. It was no Lindbergh baby story, but it was pretty big. And so finally, about a month later, they find her down in Yolo County. And she had a brand on her arm, and she had her hair cut, and she had some bruises. And she said, I was kidnapped by two Hispanic women in an SUV. Well, many, a year or two later, they finally got everything all investigated, found her underwear and other things, and examined everything, and found out that she had been staying with her ex-boyfriend in Southern California the whole time.
The whole time.
Yeah. And so now the issue is she owes people money, lots of money. This owes the state, you know, over a third of $1 million, owes fines and so on. Yeah. And she has, I don't know how she's going to get a job. How's she going to pay that back?
I don't know, but it's interesting. Yeah. This is a very small town in Northern California.
50,000.
Near,
yeah,
like, Lake, yeah, Mount Shasta,
yep,
area.
Beautiful
but,
area.
But beautiful area. But this mother, did she have children?
Yep.
How many children? Do you know?
I think they have two. They're divorced now. He has custody.
I gotcha. And then she just did this mainly because she just wanted to go see her boyfriend.
I think she just wanted attention. I mean, you know, but there are a lot of speculation as to why, but yeah.
But I think the real crime here is that she continued to claim she was the victim, and then she went to the victims group and collected money.
Yes.
Right.
She collected money from these different groups that are set up to help victims.
Met with the town's mayor, got, yeah, a resolution passed on her behalf. Yeah. All,
oh,
of this stuff.
That, I mean, too?
Oh,
oh,
yeah,
that,
she, really? Yeah. She played this out to the max.
Oh,
until,
my,
the, until the deputies finally said, you know, we have his DNA on your clothing.
It wasn't his DNA. They tracked it through a relative of him.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but they confronted him, and
yes,
he said, yep, there's the bus. I'm throwing her under.
Oh, so the boyfriend, ex-boyfriend said, I'm going to throw you under.
Yeah,
and
said, I'm not going down
I
for
think
her.
He,
sorry,
had to,
yeah,
because, yeah, he was tied to her alleged rape.
Yes, yeah, so this, she was like 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s?
I would think early 30s.
Early 30s,
yeah,
okay.
She was, and she was beautiful.
Her husband worked at Best Buy. She still is. Really very attractive.
Is this what you guys do up there, Cal? Is it when you have nothing better to do?
No, it's not what we do, but it certainly is what Ms. Papini did. And she did a little bit of time in federal prison. And
she did, you know, not much time. She's,
yeah,
out,
they,
right,
slapped her on the back of the hand. And, you know.
Oh, my God.
If she were Sam Bankman Fried.
Yeah, maybe she could hang out with him.
Well, if he looked as good as her, he'd have only done a couple of months, too.
All right.
Oh.
Well,
oh,
well, you know how that works.
We come,
you're
back. We got
about
some more.
Theranos.
We're going to wrap it up, and then we're going to do a final thing called Quick Takes.
You are listening to Radio Law Talk. We'll be right back with the rest of the show after we break away.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
Remember, Radio Law Talk is available 9 to noon Pacific every Saturday, live on RadioLawTalk.com and on many radio stations coast to coast.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now at 800-580-7703, 800-580-7703, 800-580-7703.
My name is Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I've assembled an excellent team of highly experienced personal injury trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. At Penny & Associates, we will aggressively represent you and your family when someone has been injured in an accident. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
For a free initial consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or call 1-800-616-4LAW and ask for Frederick, Stuart, Rob, Kevin, Kent, or Will. That's Frederick Penny at Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers, 1-800-616-4LAW.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do. But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Man, I know this place right down the road. Quick Quack Car Wash. Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cat and shine. Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show. Come on, Quick Quack Car Wash. Don't drive that dirty car. Quick Quack Car Wash. They'll have you looking sharp.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
If you're one of those independent people who wants your own business and you love food service, we just might have a great opportunity for you. Iceberg Drive-Ins. Iceberg is famous for its thick shakes and delicious food. We lend you our supply chain and expertise, and you can potentially have a thriving, successful, fun business that your customers will love. Iceberg Drive-Ins has some prime areas available right now, so if you're interested, get in touch with us right away. Go to icebergdrivein.com and click on the Contact Us button. Iceberg Drive-In. Ready to grow with you.
All right, guys, we need to have you read some lines for our disclaimer promo. But first, can anybody tell me what a disclaimer is? All right, then. Well, Denise, you go ahead.
Non uti consilius me oriere por questus purpurium juris consult.
Latin, that's a nice touch. Thank you, Denise. Next time we'll try it in English, if that's okay. Fred, how about you?
Cal, I don't want to read all this. Can't we just tell the people that we're discussing general legal issues and they should hire their own attorney instead of relying on what we have to say here?
Well, we could, I guess.
Let's have Todd do it.
Me? Read disclaimers? Why, I couldn't. The information you hear on Radio Law Talk is general.
The preceding promo was for entertainment purposes only. And if you want true legal advice, contact your own lawyer. Just a tip from your friends at Radio Law Talk.
Be sure to read our disclaimers on RadioLawTalk.com.
Radio Law Talk.
Hey, what's your problem, bro? You don't belong in this neighborhood, and we're doing our job checking it out.
You're out of order! The whole trial is out of order! They're out of order!
Now it's time for more Radio Law Talk.
Sometimes as a lawyer, you feel that way, right? Everything's out of order. Todd, let's talk about an interesting thing having to do with VFX tech.
Yeah, look, if you've watched any of the Avengers movies in the Avengers franchise, the use of digital effects is just off the charts, and it's only going to get continue to proliferate throughout the movie universe. I hope it doesn't. I like real actors, but that's what's going to happen. Well, there's a company called Reardon that had their visual effects, VFX tech, and they're claiming that Disney unlawfully used their tech in the Avengers Infinity War and Avengers Endgame. If you've seen both of those movies, you know that they relied heavily on visual effects. Well, a judge this last week, and this lawsuit's been going on for a while, a judge this last week dismissed the lawsuit, claiming that there just wasn't enough information, there wasn't enough evidence to get past the summary judgment stage in this lawsuit to show that Disney had, in fact, used illegally this tech that VFX used. Now, the caveat to that is that the lawsuit wasn't completely dismissed in the sense that Disney could still be on the hook to pay a portion of the profits from both Endgame and Civil War to, or Infinity War to this company for other uses that they had that were claimed to be legitimate. Now, if that's the case, I mean, we're talking both films grossed in the billions of dollars, and that's going to be a good payout for VFX. But their main lawsuit that would have that would have put a huge dent in Disney's in the Marvel Cinematic Universe franchise. That was dismissed, and so that was the latest development as far as that's concerned.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, interesting. But Denise, is it as interesting as Walgreens?
Well, it sort of is. Walgreens had a contract with PWN Health that does business as Everly Health Solutions, and they had a contract related to the 2020 COVID testing. And in order for Walgreens to have nationwide approval to disseminate tests, they had to have this contract with PWN, and that allowed them then to, you know, be able to advertise that they could test you and get the tests done in a manner that was consistent nationwide, right?
Is that getting the shots too, or is that different?
No, that's just the testing.
Okay, gotcha.
Right. So what it is alleged is that Walgreens then, instead of putting the tests per the agreement with Pond for testing, they started doing the tests themselves. And so that was a breach of the contract is what was alleged. So instead of going to trial right away, they did an arbitration through American Arbitration Association, which is quite common in big contracts like this. And the arbitrator came up with $987 million as against Walgreens for this breach of contract. And then the pawn went in to make the arbitration award a judgment from the court. And now Walgreens is arguing that the arbiter exceeded what his authority was because it's 12 times the maximum liquidated damages provision of $79 million that would have been allowed under the contract. And I think they may have a point here. So we're going to have to see what happens. And this is a fun one because it comes from the arbitration arena going into the court.
That's interesting. So they're saying the arbitrator overstepped his bounds.
Or ignored a provision of the contract that would have limited damages.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Todd, UFC fighting.
Yeah. You know,
they've got money.
They do. And I think you file this one under where do you draw the line when it comes to that. Look, UFC... The UFC originally, they were responsible, in my opinion, for the real launch of Ultimate Fighting as a sport. You have UFC 1, UFC 2, and they took it off. Dana White and his group really saw the value in that and got investing and funding, and they took this to where it was. And I get it. One of the things that they had to do, though, was they had to ensure that they would always have access to the best fighters to put on these events. And so these fighters signed these exclusive agreements, which essentially prevented them from becoming free agents. I understand that at the early days of the UFC up until about 2010. But then the UFC merged with the WWE and started this new company called TKO, and that's when it really started taking off. But they were still the 800-pound gorilla. They were the big one, but they continued to require exclusivity of their fighters. So the fighters eventually filed a class action lawsuit. The class is anybody who fought in a bout between 2010 and 2017 for the UFC. And recently they reached a settlement on this class action lawsuit. They were seeking $1.6 billion. TKO settled with these fighters for $335 million to be dispersed among the 1,214 fighters that fought for the UFC during that period of time that were prevented from becoming free agents because of the exclusive nature of these contracts.
Awesome. So, Denise, what are you going to do for Easter weekend?
Well, today's a memorial for someone that passed.
That's no fun.
So today is kind of out, and then tomorrow I'm going to take my niece shopping. I'm so excited to be able to take
Todd
her.
Todd, what are you doing? I'm watching TV, playing video games.
It's like you have a hidden cam in my house, Fred. I just be careful where that cam is placed.
I
do have an 18-year-old son now.
And he has cats.
Cal, what are you doing for the holidays?
Well, she doesn't know it, but I'm going shopping Easter. With Denise. That's what's
there you go. Easter, getting together with family, right, Cal?
A lot of family gathering. Really excited about it.
Okay, I'm doing the same thing. I'm going to go and sit down with my grandkids and bring them their favorite thing. Guess what? And the mom doesn't like it because like their little donuts, the little round ones. I'm going to go after the show, grab the round donuts, take them, and spoil the grandkids.
You mean the donut holes?
You know, just the little round like Hostess.
Oh, the mini donuts.
Donuts. Yeah, and we're going to take some of that, and I might just slip one into my mouth. I'm not quite sure.
Well, you got to do what you got to do, Fred.
Because I'm on a diet right now.
It is Easter though. So.
But we appreciate all of you guys joining us here, and have a wonderful Easter. Why don't we just do a little bit early, Cal? Our final, quick takes, and then let's just take it out with some music and maybe a little bit of Easter fun.
I think we can do that.
Go ahead and
take your time
that.
On your quick takes. Let's see.
Go ahead, Todd.
Todd, do you have a quick take?
I do, and this is about the Sherry Papini, the mom who faked her kidnap.
Yeah.
How would you like to be the boyfriend? You think you're going to have this little rendezvous, and for all we know, he had no idea what she did to get there. He just picked her up somewhere. Here you're having this little get-together, and then you watch the news. Wait, is that you? Are you the one that was kidnapped? I mean, at that point, it's like,
uh-oh.
Oops.
Uh-oh.
Oops. He was never charged.
Well,
so.
she made sure nobody watched TV, blacked out the windows. And I mean, she was very aggressive in protecting her stance on the matter.
Denise, here I go. Well, I just kind of, you don't have one right now, Denise? Because I have to end it. I got to end mine.
I have an ending, too.
Okay, mine's an ending. Go ahead.
So is mine.
I'm going to give you the ending then.
Okay.
All right, my diet is not going to be working because I'm stopping by my grandkids' house. I'm going to open those little plastic Easter eggs, and I'm sure I'm going to find some chocolate. But remember the real reason for Easter tomorrow. That's what it's important. We'll see you next week after Denise gives her final quick take.
At the settlement between DeSantis and Disney, Elmer Fudd chimed in. That's all, folks.
All right. We'll see you next week. Appreciate you being here.
Have a meaningful Easter holiday, and thanks for listening to Radio Law Talk. We'll see you next week right here.
Radio Law Talk. And RadioLawTalk.com. Listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.